The Hoist is recorded and produced on the stolen land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would like to pay our respects to the elders and traditional owners of this land. Sovereignty was never ceded. This land always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
So today we have a special guest here on The Hoist on Sin. I'm Salome. I'm here with Emily Lane, and we will be speaking to Jack from Psychedelic Porn Crumpets, having a bit of a chat about their new track, Mr. Prism, which dropped on the 5th of August. But Jack, before we talk about the new track, last season on air, Emily and I actually had a bit of a discussion about the coolest band names in the game in Australian music, and I reckon yours was the first one to come up. What on earth is the story about where Psychedelic Porn Crumpets came from?
Well, I'm glad we got brought up in that conversation. That was good. I suppose it was like more to be, I suppose, ridiculous. I was doing a uni. It's kind of boring, but it's not, I suppose. I'll talk. It was like we were doing, I was at uni at the time doing graphic design, and I was trying to brand, like, we had a branding project. It was like, you can design a band or something like that. So I was like, oh, I'll design this band. And then to get people into it, I'll be like, oh, well, we'll call it Psychedelic Porn Crumpets, because that is the most ridiculous thing I'd heard at the time. And then, because there was like Unknown Mole Orchestra, King Gizzard, there was like Fat Man with Mystic Wolf Shirt. It was kind of like a thing. It was like, let's make a band where it's like the band name is more, it's intriguing. So I did that. And then the lecturer asked if I had any music to accompany it, and then so I wrote Marmalade March, Cornflake and Cubensis just like at home, and it started to like weirdly pick up traction, and I was like, it was obviously a joke, and then now my life is a serious joke, like, and I think that's how I've been looking at it for the last like 4 years. So yeah, it's all right.
So did you continue on with the graphic design degree, or were you like, nah, Psychedelic Porn Crumpets is a thing now, we're official?
I think it would take a huge optimist to be like, my life is now Psychedelic Porn Crumpets, give up your degree. No, I carried on through with it, got the old degree. I actually went and worked for like a mining company for ages. I was like the full corporate slug, and did that, and I was like, well, I might as well do some freelancing. Ended up on a building site of all places, and then I used my graphic design degree to make a surveying degree so I could get a surveying job. And then from there, I was like, nah, I need to give music a really good crack. So went and did music. And now here I am. I lived in a barn like a homeless man for a long time, but I had power. So that was it.
Yeah, so you've really been all over the place. You're like, nah, did a bit of this, did a bit of that.
That's my feelings.
Yeah, well, talking about doing a couple of things, you guys toured pretty much like the end, like the second half of 2019. How does it feel to have been able to get that done, do all that touring before all this COVID madness sort of set in?
Yeah, I think we're really lucky, actually, because we sort of just, I think our last show was doing Laneway, and there was talk, obviously, around that time of like the COVID kind of thing coming out, and you're like, oh, it won't happen to us, because the next thing we were going to do was the Ocean Alley run, but we had a big gap until June. So we basically had just done that year of the Whatchamacallit tour, so for us it was a really nice time to sit down, because we'd already planned a gap to start recording new music, so which was supposed to be finished, like literally mixed and mastered by May, so we could sort of have an album out around now. But now, because of COVID, it gave us lots of time to sort of sit down and be like, all right, well, let's knuckle out this idea a bit more and try and fledge some little bits and pieces that weren't too good. And I think it's led to actually the best piece of work we've done. So this new record, I've just been at home, like, yeah, isolating, but I had this dirty, dirty beard for so long where I was like, I only shaved it the other day because I was like, maybe I can go outside again. Yeah, and it was, and I was just getting, so, I don't know, just strange being like, how does this snare sound? How does this bass tone sound? And then after a while, you'd show someone, and then you'd cut it off 10 seconds in, you'd be like, you don't like it, no one likes it, oh God, and then you're back to the drawing board. So, but having that period of time and no deadline, or, yeah, so with a label or whatever, your manager's like, we need this single out now. It's like, when it's ready, it's kind of, that it's gone back to that kind of mode. So, and by doing that, you're almost not procrastinating as much, and you're actually working. So sort of moving really quickly through albums at the moment, which has been nice.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. So can we expect like an album in the future potentially then? In the near future?
Yeah, definitely. I'm onto the fifth at the moment. So we've got this new one coming out. I don't know if I've said the name of it yet, but I don't know if I need to keep it as a secret. And then the next one is this idea that I've been working on and been like, I need a big chunk of time to do it because it's going to be this huge concept album and four different producers. So, and I don't really want to go too deep into it because it's going to be like, this will be my magnum opus. And I'll be like, all right, I think it's going to be good. I'm happy with it. I've been working on it. I've been talking to a bunch of people and trying to get some like good things. And I want to come out with a documentary with it. So it will be half music, half like Spinal Tap, but it's bordering comedy, but if it's done right, it's gonna be great. Or it's just gonna make everyone laugh and they'll be like, what are you doing? And that's usually how everything goes. But
I'm almost like your own reality show, yeah.
I really want to say what it is, but it's obviously we haven't even brought out this album yet, so let's save it for another time.
Well, we'll certainly be really excited to hear when that does come up. Obviously, we have got this new track, Mr. Prism, that is already out, and it was born while you were recovering from the pneumonia, which just seems all a bit too convenient with everything going on at the moment.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have this track out there in the world now?
I'm still waiting for people to sort of be like, what is this about? Like, I think, because obviously it's like we were talking about before, it was like, it's kind of so close to COVID where for a while I generally thought I was like patient zero. And then I was like, so when I got tested, I'm like, oh, you don't have it. And I was like, oh, thank God, that would have just been, imagine that story. But like, yeah, Jack's brought COVID through the whole of Australia and handed it out in Laneway. But we were doing Fools Festival and it was, I just remember getting progressively sicker and I was trying to have a beer and a chat with old Farnsie and I was like, everything tastes like sawdust. And I don't know if you've had that, you never have a cold and you're like, my tongue is a parrot's tongue. It like water bounces off it. You're just a mouth breather. Like, and then I went home and I went to the doctor. It's like, yeah, that's like pneumonia. I was like, is it COVID, doctor? He's like, no, it's not. You just haven't looked after yourself. So then I was like, it needs a musical jingle. Is that even part of the question? Or have I just tangently gone on some horrible little side note?
I think that summed it up quite eloquently, really, about you know, what it's about and how it feels to have it out now that you're recovered.
Also covered how it feels to have pneumonia. So we've got both ends of that spectrum.
That's it.
You've actually answered our next question, which is, you know, that's fine. It's fine. So like, how did the band react when you're like, oh, now I know I'm really sick, but I just wrote this hit? How did the rest of the band react to that?
Well, no one wanted to share a room with me because I couldn't even have the aircon on. So I was like, everything felt like breathing like fire. And I was like, oh man, like, and then obviously the only way that, because we were on tour. So I was like, please, please, to like the manager, who just has me, he's just with me each day. He's like, you gotta do it, man. You gotta do the show. Like, but I remember being like, all right, maybe I'll just have a couple of hot toddies or something and eating like a pack of like lozenges a day. But obviously I was just filled with something. But then when they said about the song, I think because it was so closely related to COVID that it almost sounds like this jingle would be like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, all right, like, am I just rubbing it in? But it's not. It's just a silly little stick song that somehow so ironic that it's happened at the same time as everything. So hopefully no one gets offended by it. That would be my one thing to say.
I'm sure
I can't
no one.
Really.
My wife has just talked for like hours. Sorry.
I can't really see someone being offended by it. It's such a funky little tune. It's got a really cool kind of retro sound about it while still sounding so relevant. In particular, Emmett noted, some funky little game sounds that come in at around the 2:50 mark. What kind of inspired throwing that in there into the track?
So the album, because we had to cut, obviously that's like a radio edit, but the beginning's got like, we were in America, we're playing loads of like arcades. So all the bars over there just have like pinball machines in them and little Mario bits and pieces. So, because obviously we were, when we were touring in America, like you go and sort of sound check at like 3 o'clock, maybe get like a taco somewhere or whatever, and then you come back to the venue and you've got to be there for like literally like probably like 8 hours until sometimes he's not playing till 1 a.m. So like, what am I going to do without just smashing all the rider right now? So you're like, all right. And then we got really into pinball and like all the arcade games. So that's kind of got a theme throughout the record where we wanted to make the whole album. There was actually an idea to make the whole album an app where it was a pinball app. So you download the next song as you go through and progress through the pinball world. But I suppose it's just hard to obviously get developers on board to be like, yeah, we've got this idea. And I don't know. We're obviously paying them heaps, but if anyone's a pinball game developer, then hit us up. That would be sweet.
Man, I wish I was a pinball game developer. I'd be like, sure, done. I'll just sign up for Grump. It's not a problem.
What an opportunity to do an app meets album. That'd be sick.
Cool.
I hope we find a web developer that's listening to this. Well, I guess before we take over the app world, the game world, there is some stuff coming up for Psychedelic Porn Crumpets in, you know, a little bit in the closer future than, you know, taking over and creating the next great game. you're set to support Ocean Alley for their rescheduled 2021 tour, which I guess would be hugely exciting even under normal circumstances, but let alone when it's been so long between gigs. What are you looking most forward to about getting back up on stage and playing, and including playing some of these new songs you've been working on?
I can't even think of it. We've been jamming recently about like obviously writing the new material, and I think we're gonna, it would be to be stepping into a whole new direction really, but I'm still trying to keep the Porn Crumpets theme going. But I was talking to someone else the other day about it'll be really nice to have this allure of unpredictability around the band. So rather than being like, you're expecting the exact same thing, it'd be lovely to be like, what are they going to release? You know how kind of Radiohead got to that point where it was just like, they always just put out something a bit left turn. So you're just always kind of second guessing what they're going to release. So that would be a nice thing. So that's sort of like, we were like, well, how do we get that across to the live aspect? And so maybe, I mean, the easy one is obviously being like, oh, let's bring a synth to the mount or something like that. Just like, let's try and get all this low hertz so you just end up being like Prodigy. But there's like, I mean, visuals, the element, I'm just more happy. I just really want to have a beer with the Ocean Alley boys again. They're like some of the loveliest people. Like, because we did, was it Laneway with them? And then we met up with them in Germany, in Hamburg. I think it was the first time we met them. And we had to do this show for the Reaper Barn at what was it? It was like the old place that the Beatles played their first ever show. And we went on at 11 o'clock. Sorry, we had an 11 o'clock in the morning gig, a 3 o'clock gig, and a 1 a.m. gig. It's kind of like Big Sound, but in Germany for Europe. So we did that, and they were playing. And Babe Rainbow over there as well, actually. But Ocean Alley came and did our lights at like 1 in the morning. And everyone was so like, just sideways, that when we got up there, I think like before we even got on, old mate chucked the strobes on, so it was like, and we're like, oh hey, we're the Porn Crumpets, oh, and it was just one of the strangest gigs I've ever done. But if they could do that again, that would be amazing. Maybe all the tours with Ocean Alley, they'll do our lights.
Oh, so potentially, so what are the chances that you guys get up with Ocean Alley and just do a joint song together? I know there'd be like 100 people on stage because there are so many of you guys if you were to combine, but what are the chances of that?
I think that'd be, I mean, yeah, hopefully we could do. What song would you do? We'd have to do like, I mean, the concept would be like AC/DC, just fall back and back for about 20 hours. DeMarco did that actually. He got everyone on stage and they'd do Enter Sandman. And it literally went, I remember he had an hour and a half set. And he did half an hour's worth of music and then played Enter Sandman for an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, am I happy with the money that I spent for this ticket? I was like, yeah, I think I am. Like, this is great.
Oh, that would be amazing. To be fair,
but
like,
Pedal did it.
Yeah.
Did Enter Sandman for an hour and 15.
That would be amazing. Like, to be fair, I was supposed to see you guys at Falls Festival, but now I'm like hankering to see Bill's Mandolin live. So I'm like so keen to see you guys with Ocean Alley. It's like, oh, gonna be amazing. And all the new tracks, obviously, I'm sure that there's everything's gonna absolutely slap.
Yes.
But yeah, thank you so much for joining us and having a chat about Mr. Prism, obviously, and your video, your app, the future of
my app,
and your app, just and all the apps and the future of psychedelic porn crumpets. But yeah, we really appreciate you coming and joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on. I always love having a chat. It makes my day a lot brighter.
Thank you.